What's up, everybody? Michael Johnson here with the Business Choreography Podcast, and I'm excited you joined me today because today we have a very special guest. Today joining us on the show is John Miller. John is the founder of ScribeWise, a content marketing agency dedicated to helping B2B firms grow. With a skilled team of writers, designers, and strategists, John is on a mission to make B2B marketing better. John and his company have a focus on trust-based relationships while proudly remaining SEO centric. I can't wait for you to meet him, and I can't wait to pick his brain and learn as much as we can from him. So let's cue the intro and we'll jump right in. Listen, there's a lot to learn when growing and scaling your business.
That's why we created the Business Choreography Podcast, where we talk about choreographing your marketing, operations, and sales into dynamic systems that increase your revenue and your impact.
We'll explore solid business principles and discuss all things that make businesses dance to success with clarity.
We'll help you figure out where the holes are in your business and what you can do to fix them. Think of us as your official business choreographers, aka your insider growth strategists.
Remember, your choreography matters. Welcome to the Business Choreography Podcast. John, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Good to see you.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to jump in and talk to you about a few subjects and some that are near and dear to our heart and so important to our listeners. And a lot of that is surrounding content marketing and a few other things that we mentioned in your intro. So we're going to get to that. But along the way, those listening to the show know that I love to start with backstory. I love to be able to jump into this piece and talk about your journey to get to where you are now. And we know it's a winding road. So share with us kind of some of the ups and downs of getting to this point and your journey to get here.
Yeah, it definitely has not been a straight line. That's for sure. So I worked in broadcasting when I got out of college. I had great dreams of being an NFL play-by-play announcer. It took me about 10 years to realize there's about 12 of those jobs in the world. So a little bit competitive.
Right.
But I worked in broadcasting for a long time, covered news and sports. Then went into, worked at a, had a, it kind of segued into public relations. Spent a decade at a public relations firm here in Philadelphia, where I'm still based. Then 14 years ago now, had a couple of business ideas. And I did the other one first. One of them became ScribeWise. But the first one was I went back to the world of journalism and created a website that covered Philadelphia sports. So very journalistic. Had a bunch of beat reporters, lost a bunch of money. It was, I like to say it was an artistic success, but a business failure.
Oh, nice.
So that lasted about a year and a half, but launched some guys' careers, revived a couple of people's careers, some names that your folks have probably heard of, worked with. I worked with them. And then started ScribeWise in 2012. And the idea back then was content marketing was really taking off. And I just didn't believe that companies would ever figure out how to create enough content to kind of feed that beast. So we were very much an outsourced newsroom at that point in time. And we've evolved from there because companies did start to figure it out. Content has become somewhat commoditized, but at our core, we're still a content marketing agency, I would say. And writing is the primary skill on our team, but we have designers and strategists, as you said at the outset, Michael. And we do lots of stuff, but writing's the core. So we're helping with social media and public relations and building websites and building brands and all of those things.
I love that. That's so funny that your journey, I feel like there's a lot for people to relate to. You know, I'm doing this, but I started with that.
and one thing too, so the website was called Philly Sports Daily.
Nice.
And as that was winding down and my wife was pointing out that we needed some income and I needed to get a job. So I was applying to jobs and nobody would hire me. So sometimes I joke, why did you start a business? Because nobody would hire me.
Right.
Which I think is probably your listeners can sympathize with a little bit.
I think that's the story of an entrepreneur right there. And I don't know that it's true, but I think that we all think that. You know, nobody's going to hire me.
Well, but you also have, if you're entrepreneurial, I think you have big ideas.
Right.
And a lot of people in hiring, they want to put people in boxes.
Right.
And I heard a phrase a couple of years ago that I think applies to entrepreneurs, and I know it applies to me now, which is that most entrepreneurs are psychologically unemployable.
Right.
We don't want to we can't work for someone else anymore.
Right. Right. Yeah. That is so true. You get down a certain amount of the path, and pretty soon you're like, there's just no way. There's no way.
Right. About it. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Let's dig into the topic and some of the topics that you're here to share with us today. One of them being that you guys help companies figure out their story and creating actionable plans to deliver those stories. That's a big deal. And I feel like in the corporate world, at a certain place, they get that. They understand that the story is so important. They start building it around characters and they build it around different people they bring in house. But I feel like the younger companies in the world have a hard time understanding the value of the story and how powerful it can be. So talk to us a little bit about that and figuring out people's stories, because most people think their life is pretty boring.
Well, and a lot of times I think companies, especially younger companies, think their story is about their history, which could be very brief, or their product, or the history of the founders or whatever. But I'm going to get a little bit theoretical. Your stories work because our brains are hardwired for the emotions of stories. And there have been studies that show when we hear stories, parts of our brains literally light up. It sounds very fluffy and soft.
Right.
But it's really based in science. The best way to connect, think about any brand or anything, any human that you have an affinity for, there's a story that you have bought into. And people don't like to buy from brands. They like to buy into brands more and more. So to build that story is incredibly important. And then the other thing to get theoretical is the story should, and this could be hard to do because it can get squishy and you can really get lost, but it should follow. There's a book out 75 years ago by a guy named Joseph Campbell talking about the hero's journey. And that's really what you're trying to say. And the hero of the story a company tells is the customer. So if you think of it as Star Wars, because I'm a Star Wars geek, the customer is Luke Skywalker. Your brand is Obi-Wan. You're the guide that sets them on a different trajectory. And if you can figure that out and tell that story, and then tell that story over and over and over again, you will create connections that people love and buy into.
I love that. That seems so hard. I mean, I the number of businesses we talk to, invest in, and work with, it seems so hard to them. And in some cases, it's hard drawing it out of them and getting them to understand that, not only from the perspective of it's going to be valuable for their business, but also from the perspective of finding the emotion in that story. How do you guys do that?
It's hard. We ask a lot of questions. Our kickoff session, we have a list of 53 questions that we run through.
Wow.
And that's just the starting point, because we ask a lot of follow-up questions to the answers we receive. So it's very much involved in active listening. It takes a lot of research. It takes spending time together with a new client of ours. Everybody wants to rush to activity, and I get that completely. And sometimes you need to put points on the board quickly.
Right.
But the most success we have had and the most that our clients have benefited is when we spend a month or two in their meetings, not just having our meetings, but just being flies on the wall in meetings that they're having. If we can literally walk through the halls, if anybody's in an office, and just overhear things in little snippets, and it all starts to weave together. And then things start to happen really quickly when you get to that tipping point of understanding what the story is.
Right.
But I also think that there's a difficulty at the very beginning in that when most C-levels, companies, founders, whomever, think about marketing, they think about telling the world how awesome they are.
Right.
And nobody wants to hear that. So it is, you have to flip the lens around completely and talk about the customer and the customer's wants and needs. So I think that's really hard. That's our muscle memory is backwards on that.
Right. And figuring out that, you would think that most businesses are good at knowing who their customers are. And I find that not to necessarily be true. How do you guys go about helping them to understand that? How can our listeners really get better at understanding who their people are?
I do think it's hard to do your own marketing completely internally. And obviously I have a bias when I say that, but I think a mixture of internal and external sources, because you can't read the label from inside the jar, right?
Right.
So, and the label is what the customer sees. So you, when you're internal, you can get bogged down in the weeds, get down, bogged down a little bit in the politics. Sometimes it's good to have an external force that can be a bit of a bad cop and say, uh-uh.
Right.
So it is oftentimes looking at who the customers are, who their favorite customers are, but also who is their ideal customer. And then, I mean, we've run into this, frankly, with ourselves. Like, I can tell you someone who was our favorite customer for the last couple of years, but I kind of came to a point in time where I thought, yes, that person is our favorite customer, but that's not replicable.
Right.
She's a unicorn. and we can't just go searching for unicorns. We're not going to know. You have to have kind of a foot in the real world about that, too. But it took me a while of looking for the next one like that to realize there might not be another one like that.
It is so true. And it's difficult. And you've got a lot of the quote unquote gurus out there saying that you need to look at who your perfect and ideal customer is. But I love the approach there and the theory that, hey, that might be a unicorn. How could some of these businesses listening, if they're just looking at it now and they want to take your advice to start down that path, how can they identify whether that's a unicorn or not?
That, I think it depends on your business, right? And you have to dig into, sure, like, how do they behave and what makes them so great? And also we're selling consulting services, right? Of a kind. So sure. I think if you're selling services versus a product, your customer, you have to match mindsets with the customer. I don't think that's quite as true with products. So to a certain extent, it's not where did they go to school and how many children do they have and, you know, how many years experience do they have? It's more that person's mindset.
Right.
And there are other people with that ideal customer's mindset out in the world. I just don't know it until I start working with them, probably.
Right.
Maybe I can flush it out in sales conversations, because we have a very consultative sale. I'm sure a lot of your listeners do. So, you know, if you can figure out what are those specific things you're looking for, great. What do they value? What's important to them? So I think I try to not be super prescriptive anything I advise, because I think every situation is unique. But I do think it makes sense for your listeners to say, let's just map out who our customers are, who are our favorites, and what are we basing favorite on? Is it their personality? Is it how much they pay us? Is it just the working relationship? Like, what is it? I think it's really a matter of, I don't know if you're hearing my watch, but that's annoying.
I know you can hear it.
I think it's a matter of really sitting down and saying, okay, these are our five favorite customers. Why is that the case? And you do have to peel the layers of that onion back a little bit.
Sure. We mentioned earlier, well, maybe we didn't, but you do talk about pushing companies to act with courage. And I'd like to know more about that and understand more why you feel that's so important in today's business world.
I see. It was funny. I was reading this morning. There's a new, and I know we're not airing on the same day necessarily, but there's a new head of the Business Roundtable, the national organization. And he was saying that, and their message was basically that CEOs today think that uncertainty is the new normal. And I do feel like for the last 5-7 years, we've had a lot of uncertainty in the business community, pandemics, all wars, crazy politics. And a lot of people have kind of been frozen in place. Well, if you spent the last 7 years afraid to make a move because times were uncertain, you've done nothing for 7 years. That's not good. You know, we're, especially as marketers, I think marketers are really, I believe, should be leading the charge for their companies.
Right.
And you can't lead from behind. So we have to be a little bit bold. We have to take some chances. You have to be working at in an environment in which people aren't going to, you know, fire you if you get something wrong.
Right.
But we also have to seek out those environments where people are going to support us as we take chances.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'd love to hear more about what you mean by SEO cynical. There's so much talk about SEO and these days. Is it good? Is it bad? Is AI killing it? Was it dead before AI killed it? What's your stance and what's this idea of SEO cynical?
So SEO cynical is really, again, going back to putting the customer as your hero.
Right.
So the analogy I just came up with this the other day is that SEO is like making sure that your tires are properly inflated. Of course it's important, but it's not the engine. It helps it go. If you screw it up, you're in trouble. But it's like, why are you spending so much money inflating your tires? Right? So SEO is not that difficult to do the basics of it and to make sure you have technical SEO correct. And you do have to pay attention to those things. I'm not saying you don't. But for most companies, especially for B2B companies that have longer, more considered purchase cycles, no one's going to land on your website and buy.
Right.
They're just not. You need to build trust over time. A lot of SEO tactics are tricks to get people to your website, which I would argue undermine that trust you're trying to build. I think if you're selling socks or cheeseburgers or whatever, SEO, yes, fine, go for it. But if you're selling ERP systems or, you know, even SaaS companies are very focused on SEO. And I think, frankly, that that's a mistake if they're selling it to a large organization. I think that they need to be much more focused on trust building over time. And there's a lot of different factors there here, right? And we don't have time to get into all of them. But one of the things that I think we all forget is that 3% of our addressable market is in market at any given time, roughly. So why are you trying so hard to get that other 97% to your website? They might be in market 2 years from now, but you've just ticked them off, potentially, depending on how you did it. You've tricked them a little bit, right? You lured them to your website, they downloaded some content, they gave you email, and now you're spamming the hell out of them, and they're ticked off. So like, these are the things that we've been doing in marketing, and a lot of those things have stopped working. And the last piece of it, and I'll stop my rant, is people consume content very differently now. They want to consume it in feed. If you're on Instagram, if you're on LinkedIn, you want to stay there. And those platforms want you to stay there too. So we're fighting upstream against the platform's algorithm, and the platform is more powerful than most of our websites. And we're fighting upstream against human behavior. And I think that we need to address people where they're at and not try to drag them to a place they don't want to be.
Right, right. Well, that combined with being able to present a a story that represents your brand and your services well, and understanding that that the SEO is a piece of the pie, but not the pie. I think that's right. That's so valuable. And you know, for us, that's why we wanted to have you on the show. We believe in the idea that it's an overall piece of choreography, and there are a lot of pieces and parts that right. go into the show. You can't have the show if you're missing one of the parts. And I love your analogy of the tires. If the tire's flat, even one of them, then the car isn't going to run. Good. Yeah. So I love that. So it's an entire piece of choreography that has to come together, and it needs all of those pieces. And just the approach and the idea behind creating those stories that are meaningful and have actionable items that go with it. I love that. Talk to us a little bit about how people can get in touch with you and learn more.
Sure. We'll put a page on our website, scribewise.com/business choreography. So you'll have a couple of options. You can sign up for our emails. I wrote a book about courageous marketing called Playing It Safe Sucks. You can buy the book there.
Nice.
You just shoot us an email and have a chat, whatever you want to do. But scribewise.com/business choreography.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you doing that for us and for our listeners, and excited to have them come and visit you and learn more about how you can help them. What's a good time for them to reach out? Like, what would you say that they're ready for you? And I think a lot of times when listeners hear this, they're like, man, that sounds really great, but I don't know. Am I ready to do that? Are they too huge for me?
That's a great question. I think that every business that succeeds, which means you live past 5 years, three years, 5 years, right? Because most businesses don't. Most small businesses right. don't last that long. Every business I've ever known like that, I think, unless you're like some super hot shot tech company, VC backed, whatever, then you might be on a rocket ship to the moon, right? But if you're not OpenAI, you almost certainly build your business off of one degree of separation contacts, colleagues from the past, friends, family members, your teams, colleagues, etc. And there comes a point in time when you exhaust that.
Right.
And that's when your marketing needs to grow up.
Right.
And you need to start to seek out those referrals in a digital way. And right. that's a good spot for us to come in to say, like, what is the story? How can we connect? You've probably Frankensteined together your offering. It doesn't make complete sense. What can you, and you know, you're afraid to say something because the other thing on the other side of your business is the exact opposite or whatever, but what do you lead with? How do you go to market? And to help you work through those things, it's a good time to reach out to us.
I love that. Well, I appreciate that so much. Can you leave us with some last words of wisdom from your journey?
I'm going to go back to being courageous. Take some chances. At some point, we need to jump off the cliff and believe that we will learn to fly on the way down, and do it.
I love that. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming and sharing your knowledge and your journey and your wisdom with us. We appreciate you for doing so. Guys, as usual, keep up the work on choreographing your business, all parts of your business. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of Business Choreography. Take care.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for joining us today.
Want more Business Choreography?
Check out our website at bizchoreo.com to find out more.
And find out how the choreography for your marketing, operations, and sales can raise your revenue and create more impact.
Remember, every business needs choreography.